Daniel chapter 2, and we're glad to see everyone out here tonight on that in a cold and blustery night. Many of us might feel tempted to stay in, but we do pray that the Lord will be among us even as we spend this time together. We're turning to Daniel chapter 2, and we're reading from the verse 10. Many of us are familiar with this portion of scripture. Daniel, or I should say Nebuchadnezzar, he has just had a dream which has troubled him very much, and worse than that, has gone from him. Can't remember what the dream is, and he wishes for his wise men who appear in this passage to tell it to him, but they are unable to do so. And so we come into the midst of this scene in verse 10, where his wise men are arguing their own corner before the king. The Chaldeans answered before the king, verse 10, and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The prophet Daniel, he is one of those Bible characters who is known almost to all of us. We have all thought upon Daniel, even in our childhood. Remember stories of Daniel. Remember that time when he was thrown among the lions and how he escaped. And here we have another occasion when Daniel faces and escapes death. What was the secret, we may ask, of this man's success in all these situations? What brought Daniel through every day, through every duty, every dilemma, every danger in his experience. What made Daniel such a well-known and great man of God? How can we dare to be a Daniel? How can we stand alone like Daniel? How can we face the same kind of difficulties in our life's experience and succeed under God? Well, I believe the answer is found in the little chorus. Daniel was a man of prayer. Notice, first of all, here, the confidence Daniel had in prayer. Why was Daniel such a man of prayer? Why did he pray so much? Well, I believe because Daniel had confidence in prayer. He believed that prayer changes things. And we can see this very clearly in our reading tonight. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has just had a dream, and he wants his wise men to tell him what it is and also to tell him what it means. But these men are unable to help the king. And so in his anger and fury, the heathen king sends for an executioner. And in verse 13, we read, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." They couldn't tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. They couldn't tell him what it meant. And he was angry with them. And he was going to destroy them. But just before the guard gets a hold of them, Daniel appears on the scene. Also another wise man. And he takes the opportunity, after he has spoken to the guard, to speak to the king. And you read there in verse 16, "Then Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." "Just give me some time," Daniel says to the king, "and I will show you what you need to know. Just give me some time," he says. Where's Daniel going? What is he going to do? Well, you notice after he leaves the king's presence, what unfolds in the next couple of verses. Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret. Daniel has gone home from the king's presence to spend time in prayer with his friends. Look at the confidence that this man here has in the exercise of prayer. He knows immediately what to do here in this pressing, most threatening situation. Daniel knows immediately what to do. Daniel was a man of prayer, and therefore his immediate reaction in this pressing situation is prayer. "Just give me some time, Your Majesty. Give me some time and I'll be back with an answer. I'm going home to pray." Look at this man's confidence in prayer. Brothers and sisters, this is not an isolated sees him for Daniel. As we have learned from childhood, Daniel was a man of prayer. If you turn over to chapter 6 and verse 10, you'll notice in this situation also when the threat was hanging over his head, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And you notice what it says here, as he did aforetime. So we can see here in this passage of Scripture that Daniel was in the habit of going into his home and getting down on his knees and seeking the face of the Lord 3 times a day. This time of prayer that he's speaking about, that he's going to spend with his friends in chapter 2, this is just another time of prayer for Daniel. Daniel is used to the exercise of prayer. You could find Daniel on his knees in his home 3 times a day. Brothers and sisters, this is Daniel. This is the man we have all grown to learn and to love. Daniel had confidence in prayer every day of his life. This was nothing new to Daniel. And I wonder tonight, as we look at this man's example, I wonder how we measure up to Daniel. When matters press in upon us, does prayer come as naturally to us as it did to Daniel? Is it our immediate reaction? Are we able at least to say within ourselves, well, just give me time for prayer and I'll get an answer? This was not an isolated season. Daniel was a man of prayer, and this was not the thinking of the world. Worldly minded people don't think along these lines. Worldly Christians don't think along the lines that Daniel thought along. Look at the world in this situation here in Daniel chapter 2. As the threat is hanging over their heads, look at these worldly men which advised the king, the Chaldeans, when the matter of the king's dream is presented to them in verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. There's no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean, and it is a rare thing that the king requires. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Notice these worldly men who advise the king. They're in a blind panic. There is no hope in their situation. And they plead with the king. These worldly men, "Your Majesty, there is nobody, there is not a man on this earth that can handle this situation. Nobody." But how wrong they were. Because there was a man. There was a man of prayer. Daniel was that man of prayer. Daniel knew what to do. And he says to the king, "Just give me the time. That's all I need. Just give me the time for prayer. Brothers and sisters, is that how we think? Are we like the world? Can we see no way out in our pressing situation? Or do we think along the same lines as Daniel? Just give me time to pray, and I'll get an answer. Some might say, well, Daniel had plenty of time. Of course, that is wrong. Daniel was a very busy man. Daniel was a minister in the largest government in the then known world. What a job he had. And he was the best man at his job in Babylon. He was a very busy man. We have heard of our own prime ministers and how busy they are, up from the crack of dawn, working right through till the early hours of the morning, attending to the affairs of the nation. I remember that it was spoken of Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, that she was up at 4 in the morning and she was right into her business for the day, working right through the day. Daniel, he was run of his state, keeping matters in order, and he was very good at it. Where did he get the time for prayer? Well, Daniel had time for prayer very simply because he took the time. He took the time for prayer. He took the time every day. 3 times every day he took the time to pray. Such was his confidence in prayer. And here in this situation, it is no different. He simply takes the time, and according to the verse 19, he prayed on into the small hours of the night until God answered prayer. Brothers and sisters, I know you're all busy. I know there are many things that we have to attend to in life. Many legitimate things, just as Daniel had to. But we will never have time for prayer unless we simply, as Daniel did, take the time. We've got to take the time for prayer. The world would take the time from us. Oh, that we might take time for prayer. Daniel, in this pressing situation, he took the time that he needed, and he prayed through until he got the answer which he needed from God, which he told the king he would get. Such was this man's confidence in a simple season of prayer. Where did Daniel get his confidence from? Daniel had confidence in prayer simply because he had confidence in God. Daniel had a great God. Daniel could depend upon God for everything in his life. God knew this situation here better than anybody. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't handle this situation. His wise men couldn't handle this situation. And Daniel on his own couldn't handle this situation. But he knew one who could. He could depend upon God. God knew this situation better than any. And he cared for Daniel more than anybody else did. God had this situation here under his control. And of course, Daniel, he drew from his past experiences when God had stepped in before. He was no stranger to God's blessing. And we can also draw from past experiences. When God has stepped into our lives, and we know it very well that only God can handle our pressing situations. Thank God this prayer time was not wasted time, because Daniel, he had a great God and he could depend on him. And that is why he could say to the king, just give me time. He could depend upon his God. Brother and sister, so can we. Daniel knew that God would accept him. Notice there in Daniel 6 and verse 10 where we find Daniel upon his knees. The reference there to his windows being opened. He's now in his time of prayer, his windows being opened in his chamber. They're toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he always did this. He always threw open his windows, and some of us perhaps can recall the pictures that we've seen of Daniel, and these doors, these windows open, and they're open toward Jerusalem. When this man prayed, he looked toward Jerusalem. Why was he looking toward Jerusalem? This is where Daniel had worshipped with his family on many occasions before he had been taken captive. He loved that place. And he looked toward that place in his times of prayer. But brethren and sisters, this is not what concerned him so much. It is not our association to a place of worship that makes the difference. It was not his association with his place of worship that made the difference, that made him feel more acceptable to God and more confident in the place of prayer. But Daniel's eye went further. Daniel had his eye, yes, upon Jerusalem, yes, upon his place of worship, but he also had his eye upon the altar of sacrifice. The place of blood shedding, yes, the place of acceptance, where the sinner received his knowledge of sins forgiven and acceptance before God. This is what concerned Daniel most as he knelt for his seasons of prayer. As he looked toward Jerusalem, he looked to the place of sacrifice where he was accepted before God. That is why he had so much confidence in prayer. Daniel had a great God. Daniel could depend upon God, and Daniel knew that God would accept him. And brother and sister, tonight, you too have a great God, and you too can look toward Jerusalem, to that other place of sacrifice without the city walls. You can look to Calvary tonight. You can look to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. You can look to that place of bloodshedding where the sinner comes to a knowledge of sins forgiven and acceptance before God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God tonight in this time of prayer, in the midst of our pressing situation, whatever it may be, with confidence confidence in this time of prayer? Very simply, because we've confidence in God. We can depend upon God. Is that how you feel tonight? Is that how you feel every time you seek the face of the Lord in prayer? That is how Daniel felt. He could depend upon God. He could look to God. He knew that God would answer prayer. He knew that God would accept him. Oh, that we might have more confidence in prayer. Oh, that we might have more confidence in God and prayer. Even as we get down to prayer tonight, the confidence Daniel had in prayer. Notice also the companions Daniel had in prayer. When Daniel leaves the presence of the king to go home for prayer, you'll notice how he brings the whole situation to the attention of his friends in verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel did not keep this matter to himself. This matter was as much to do with his friends. And so he goes home to his friends. He could depend on them to share this matter with him in prayer. That's a wonderful privilege. That is why we're gathered here for this time, that we might share matters in prayer that concern us all as a church. That's what this public prayer time is all about. We have come here tonight as companions in prayer. We're concerned about the same things. We're concerned about the witness of this church and those who would perish around us, and our own personal need and our needs as a family. We come to unite in our time of prayer, and this is a good thing. God has a blessing reserved for those who unite and unite in prayer. Remember the words of David, Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And as we unite in prayer tonight, there is a blessing in store for us. As we gather for our time of prayer, as these men did, there is a blessing in store for us. There God commands the blessing. There's a special blessing reserved for those who gather together for prayer. You think of that reference in Matthew 18 where the Savior brings the church and their meetings into view. In verse 19 he says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Notice the gathering here, the two of you. Notice the prayer that they shall ask. Notice their unity in prayer. If two of you shall agree, and notice the promise he gives to us, it shall be done for them. God has a special blessing reserved for those who gather in prayer together. There are those who think that they can always pray at home, but they're missing out on this very blessing in Matthew chapter 18, when two gather together in the place of prayer and in agreement and in unity, pray through together for God's blessing. Daniel didn't go home to spend his time alone in prayer. Yes, because the matter concerned them all, and also because he believed that united prayer times are attended with much blessing. God has a special blessing reserved for those who gather together for prayer. For there in that time of prayer, our prayers carry more weight together. You see, the witness of more people, especially in the court of law, will carry more weight. This is what the Savior teaches here, and this is what is taught throughout Scripture, that in the mouth of verse 16, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Every word carries more weight. And you will find this in the court of the of law. The judge is happier, much happier, when more witnesses appear on the scene, and happier still when they're all agreed. Their witness will always carry more weight. And brethren and sisters, you will always find in the courts of heaven that God will take more notice when we gather together with our petitions, with our concerns, and plead with him together. And he will be even happier still when we all agree, when we are united in heart and in petition. Our prayers will carry more weight. God will listen to those concerns that concern all of us, especially those which concern the Savior, as we gather tonight as companions in prayer around the throne of grace and unite in our petitions. God will take notice. Our prayers will carry more weight, and God will answer our prayers. The best companion that we can have, however, in our times of prayer, not mentioned here in Daniel's prophecy, but also here, is of course the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to be there. It was the Holy Spirit who revealed the vision to Daniel in the night. He had to be there in that prayer time. And he is the best companion to have in our prayer times. Paul says in Romans 8, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He is the one who is always with us in our times of prayer. He is the one who comes to apply the blood to our hearts afresh in our time of prayer. He is the one who comes to create that desire in our hearts for prayer. He is the one who comes to deepen that desire in prayer. He is the one who comes to unite us together as brethren and sisters in our concerns and our petitions for prayer. Wherever the presence of the Holy Spirit is felt among us in our times of prayer, there will be blessing, just as it was with Daniel. We may speak tonight of prayers which carry more weight. This is when our prayers really carry more weight, when they are attended by the Holy Spirit, when he is there in our season of prayer. This is when God takes notice, when God really steps in with a blessing. We're told just before 1859 revival how God started to move among a few young men. We've thought upon these young men after they got saved. These men became concerned about others and their condition. We're told how they got together in the old schoolhouse in County Antrim and started to pray together until God came. And what a blessing arose from those seasons of united prayer among those young men. The Spirit of God worked in their hearts. If we're prepared tonight to gather as Daniel and his friends gathered, with confidence in prayer, with confidence in God, as companions in prayer, with the help of the Holy Spirit among us, then thank God, we'll not be disappointed. God will make this season together in prayer a worthwhile season. And this leads us to our closing thought, to the consequences Daniel had from prayer. Daniel got answers for his prayers. Verse 19, the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. He was able to go back to Nebuchadnezzar with what he wanted. And as a result of that, he and his companions were spared. This is what they wanted to see. And of course, let us not forget his worldly companions also. Those men who didn't know what to do, they were also spared because of this man of prayer. Oh, that we would see the value of prayer tonight. Oh, that the world would acknowledge the value of prayer. And there are many testimonies in the history of time. In the midst of wars, in the midst of revivals, how God changed the whole course of history because a few decided to seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Then, of course, there followed the praise. In verse 20 through to 23, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." In verse 23, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers." There followed the praise. Daniel could put it down here on record, and we're still able to read it to the glory of God today, that God answers prayer. He's a great God. You can depend upon him. It also drew praise from the mouths of others. Even the great king himself in verse 47, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets." This here answer to prayer also drew praise from this ungodly king. Then of course there followed God's blessing upon Daniel. Look at what it says in verse 48. After he had explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon." And his friends, as you'll notice in verse 49, were also promoted. So we can see here, as a result of this man's simple prayer life, just taking time to pray, how he became a great man. A great man with great gifts and a great amount of usefulness under God. And we could think tonight of other great men, how they became so great under God. Luther, he had so much work to do. He rose at 4 and prayed to 8 every morning. And God made him a great man of God. George Mueller, who built the orphanages in Bristol, he built them from nothing. And when there was nothing, even on the table, when there wasn't even breakfast for the children in the morning, you could often hear him say, "Just give me time for prayer." And he went in and he prayed, and God answered prayer. If we want to be greatly used of God in this world to the glory of God, then we need tonight Daniel's confidence in seeking God, that God will hear us, that God will answer us. If we could only get to that place in our own experience, what God could do with us in His service. What confidence we would have in every situation that arises in our life's experience, to stand up for God, to get answers from God, to draw praise from even the most ungodly around us to the glory of God. Oh, that God might enable us even tonight to gather with confidence and prayer as companions in prayer, and to seek the face of the Lord to answer prayer. Oh, that God might be pleased to work His word into our hearts and bless us.